Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, all things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness, brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, LER, and MVP Parent Magazines, and UK Health Radio. Got a great doubleheader, Bill Crawford, longtime fitness expert, one of the real champions of the fitness industry, author, educator, 2012 National Fitness Hall of Fame inductee, and recent recipient of that organization's Lifetime Achievement Award. He returns along with Signe Ranka, former figure skating champion, founder of FlexiFit, the outstanding off-ice training program. Also, she is the publisher of Figure Skating Fitness Magazine. Then we got the sports doctors in, some Bob Guida wisdom, your emails. Bill Crawford, welcome back to the Sports Doctor.
Well, thank you so much for having me on again. It's always a real pleasure to visit with you and to be on your show. Boy, you've got some real A-lister sponsorships there. That's very impressive.
Thank you. You know, we're always looking for some more and some new ones. Absolutely. Bill, give us some background on yourself and your whole fitness journey in a short bio.
Okay, real short. My fitness story started in the place where I grew up and was born, in the mountains of Colorado, a little town called Ouray, where if you live there and you're mobile, you're going to be fit just because of an incidental, because of the topography in the mountains and all the things that there are to do. So I ended up going out to Los Angeles in 1976, and in 1977, I was in the fitness business. And we became associated with a guy named Arthur Jones, who invented Nautilus equipment. And we started the first Nautilus clubs in Los Angeles. And that's all I've ever done. I didn't look to the left, didn't look to the right. I am a very fortunate person because I found work that is my passion, that I love. And to me, it's not work. And that's all I've ever done. How's that?
That's great, Bill. You know, what's fascinating is you and I, the same year, 1977, when I met the late, great sports trainer, Bob Guida, another Lifetime Achievement Award winner with our organization, and Sports Fitness Institute, and there was Nautilus equipment. And that the incredible concept of that organization and the famous, again, Arthur Jones, who was such a pioneer in the industry. And so I it's an incredible coincidence. We're right around that same year. And you've been involved in so many different programs and education programs in the whole fitness industry, as well as the MedX medical equipment. Was that also Arthur Jones, Bill?
Oh, absolutely. And in our facility, my wife and I have a facility in downtown Scottsdale. It's called Basic Training MedX. And it's filled with the classic chrome Nautilus equipment, a full line of the MedX exercise equipment, and also we have four pieces of the MedX medical. And he invented all of those, and that's where his real genius really comes out, because it was light years ahead of anything else that's out there. It's still number one in rehabilitation of the lumbar spine, cervical neck. And what it does is it treats the source, not the symptom. And most of the other treatments out there, they treat the symptoms related to spinal injuries, cervical injuries. But the MedX equipment is a physiological change on a cellular level. And most of the time it resolves huge issues. Sometimes we've had people that were scheduled for surgeries, and they've been able to go into those treatments and cancel their surgeries.
You know, it was revolutionary also, Bill, with Arthur Jones and Nautilus, was the whole concept of one set, people doing repetitions till basically muscle failure, full range of motion, not repetitive motions.
Right.
It was revolutionary. at the time. That was a tough sell when the strength industry said, holy cow, man, one set, right?
It was a huge shift. And what Arthur's philosophy was, muscles respond better to weight resistance exercise if, number one, they're trained in isolation. Number two, they're trained through the full range of motion with equalized resistance to muscle fatigue. And now what we know is the benefit doesn't take place during the exercise. The exercise is actually not that great for you. It's your body's ability to recover from the exercise and adapt to the stresses imposed on the muscle tissue during exercise that makes it so great. So if you don't give
your
body...
You mentioned a key word, isolation. The ability of the machine to isolate compared to free weights, where there might be 5-6 different muscle groups in some way, shape, or form being incorporated, which has also got some nice advantages, but the isolation in rehabilitation. That's why the great White Sox slugger Eric Soderholm came, Bill Buckner, he came to Sports Fitness Institute and as endorsers of Nautilus. Talk a little bit also, Bill, about the sports teams, the celebrities, the athletes that you've been had the honor to train over your career.
Certainly I will, but that's the question that is asked of me quite frequently. And my standard answer, I start with this, it's not really the movie stars and the superstars of the athletic teams. The one that I love the most is the guy that comes in a walker or a wheelchair, and I can get that guy up and walking again. Bam. That's the most gratification for me. But I've worked with Steve Yeager of the Dodgers, some of the Dodgers back in 1981 when they just happened to win the World Series. I worked with the Minnesota Twins in 1991 when they won the World Series. Did some consulting with the Diamondback organization in 2001 when they won the World Series. I didn't get a World Series ring. Can you believe it?
No, I don't. I think let's get on the phone back then also, Bill, it was still new. There was weightlifting, with powerlifting. But as far as teams incorporating strength training was still fairly new. And in so many different ways. So it was an educational challenge, wasn't it, for the team doctors, the athletic trainers, to tune in to what you were talking about as far as doing the only two things athletes care about. Number one, can I prevent problems and injuries? And number two, can I enhance performance?
That's absolutely true. And in a lot of those cases, way back then, the coaches and directors were not in favor of weight resistance exercise.
It was tough sell.
There were these misconceptions. They thought that it would damage the muscle tissue. You get muscle bound. It was bad for the joints. It was bad for your heart. So we had a lot of educating to do coming along the way. And that's why these guys came into the private facilities, because the sports teams didn't have equipment back then. They weren't allowed to work out. So a lot of it was under the radar. But they sure came around. And they understand that now, and now we know that the athletes that have the best performances practice weight resistance exercise.
Yes, and now we got to pay attention to the overkill and overdoing it in some different areas. The new medicine, which really, really earmarks the inclusion of rest and recovery. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. If you go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, if you go over to radio shows, you go back years, all sorts of topics, international guests, national guests, local guests, pick and choose what you'd like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, a lot of excitement with MVP Parent Magazine, a lot of great articles with Lower Extremity Review magazines. We have thousands and thousands of followers with educational ideas behind our posts, whether it's on LinkedIn or whether it's on Twitter, at Sports Doc Radio. We're speaking with Bill Crawford, one of the real champions and pioneers in the world of fitness. Again, Bill, you mentioned something that's so key, getting maybe your greatest feelings out of taking people who are really challenged in the world of rehab and bringing them back into active lifestyle. That's something you and your wife, Debbie, have been concentrating on for how long?
Debbie and I have been working together for 25 years, and I've been in this industry for 47 years now. But
What's her expertise, Bill?
Debbie is an expert on the medics equipment and working with all different kinds of populations. Our facility is divided into two different sections. Number one, I have a private section that's glassed in where we do one-on-one training and rehabilitation with the medics medical equipment. And then we have the whole circuit of every single piece of medics exercise equipment that was ever made, plus lots of cardio. And so Debbie manages
that
side.
So is your club, Bill, have memberships, or is it strictly personal training and individual training?
It's both. It has memberships, it has one-on-one training, and then it has rehabilitation.
What's the best website, Bill? What's the best place for people to find out about everything you do, as well as the facility? What's the best area?
BasicTrainingScottsdale.com.
Basic
All one.
With a
BasicTrainingScottsdale.com.
I see also, you know, you had that fitness program with the U.S. Navy.
Right.
And what was the Gym to Go programs? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Gym to Go program was designed for the people that serve on, they call them boats, we refer to them as submarines, because they didn't have room. Yeah, they didn't have room for any equipment. So I met the Commodore, and he said, "Can you design an exercise program that we can use while we're out at sea on these deployments? Because our personnel are coming back deconditioned, and we want to keep them in shape." Well, I immediately thought that the rubber bands would be great, because they don't take up any space. They provide, progressive resistance. And in a submarine, there's all kinds of places where you can hook them to. You know, the
I hope you had plenty of tilt boards and whatever to work balance and strengthen those feet and ankles. Of course, I got to get my pearl in for the day, Bill.
So I really had a good time on that, developed a program for them. And we use that as the base model for gymtogo.com. But I also got to ride on the USS Helena for a full day, one of the greatest experiences of my whole life. I'll never forget it.
That's got to be a unique experience, you know, the closed-in experience, as well as, something that you mentioned. I never really gave much thought to the fact of these individuals maybe being deconditioned because of the fact, again, of close quarters all of that time and how important that was. When was that program initiated, Bill?
That was back probably 2007 or 8, somewhere in there. Now, the new classes, that was the Los Angeles-class submarine attack sub. The new ones, I think, are bigger, and from what I've heard through the grapevine is they're putting some fitness equipment in them now.
Maybe they've got a running track around the inside of the submarine now in some way, shape, or form, would imagine, now that everybody understands how important it is. How much attention, with all of the physical exercise side of things, rehab, performance exercise, how much, Bill, do you also get involved, whether it's in I call it the mental game on the sports doctor, you know, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their coach, their parents, whatever it is, whether you're trying to stick with a diet program or stay with the exercise program, there's so much involved on the mental side of things and the nutritional side. You've always include that in your emphasis with all these areas, don't you?
Always, always, always. So, you know, Debbie and I both, we spend a lot of time motivating people, encouraging people. Debbie works the schedule by phone. We don't have a computer where people punch in when they're going to come. And so she's got, you know, deep contact with all the people, getting them to come in and stick with their schedules. And one of the challenges that we've had over many years is the off-premise behavior is what I call it. And I'll put in a plug for Fitbit and those related gadgets that they have out there to help people with the accountability and manage their caloric intake, which is absolutely critical. So we used to have books that we'd have to look up the caloric values of food on. Then we went to the websites. The new apps and the fitness apps, I'm sure that you're quite familiar with them. They really help a lot. And, you know, you can't exercise yourself out of a bad diet. So we know what we're doing here. We know that we're competent and capable, and if they do what they're supposed to do here, things will work out. It's what they do when they're not here that is a concern and where we try to keep people motivated.
Before we're done, if we don't fit, give you, I know you got this great quote from one of my famous guests, the famous Elaine LaLanne, mentioning you in the context with Jack LaLanne. Could you give me quickly some of that quote information? I thought it was really fantastic.
Yeah, she called me a born achiever. She said that we're all lucky that I went into the fitness business. And she says, if my husband Jack could have been here today, I know along with me, he would say Bill Crawford and his wife Debbie care, share, and are devoted to helping people help themselves. She said it was a well-deserved award, and she congratulated us. And I'll tell you what.
You know, Elaine, she just celebrated her 96th birthday. And I remember at my induction ceremony, 2018, I think, you know, she was up there, had a few words to say, and she preceded that with doing 3 push-ups.
We love her.
Right. Yeah. So she's a remarkable lady. And, you know, that book with Jack LaLanne's whole story, with her and Greg Justice, Pride and Discipline, is a fantastic book.
It's a great book. I'm in it. There's a little paragraph about
yes,
my story.
Yes, you are. I knew the time would fly with you. I'm so glad you put your dancing shoes on. Give me quickly the website again, Bill, to find out about you and Debbie and all the things you guys are doing.
BasicTrainingScottsdale.com.
BasicTrainingScottsdale.com. Bill Crawford. So great to have him back. We're going to have him again. Bill, hold on. It's the Sports Doctor, everybody. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of 2 daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag HeySportsParents is divided into 4 sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Everybody knows figure skating. Gosh, decades of information. We're excited. Signe Ranka, she's a former figure skating champion. She's the founder of fantastic off-ice programs, FlexiFit, and the founder, publisher of Figure Skating Fitness Magazine. Signe Ranka, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much, and thank you. It was an honor to be on your show alongside with Bill Crawford. It's really exciting. Thank you for having me.
Great. I know, you know, it's funny. You go back doing some junior skating, whatever, with my poster boy, Evan Lysacek, the 2010 figure skating gold medalist. He was 10 years old. We put orthotics in his skates. Signe, give us some background on yourself leading up to what you're doing at this point in time?
Okay, so how much time do we have? Well,
give me a quickie, young lady.
Yeah, I'm gonna try my best. Okay, so yeah, I competed for Canada internationally in the junior scale. I was representing Canada, medaling at multiple junior Grand Prix events and doing the junior worlds circuit. And yeah, ultimately, what ended my career was some terrible reoccurring stress-related injuries. And that is what led me into focusing on my coaching career and getting into preventing injuries for skaters, for future generations, and, you know, learning all about what it takes to make sure that the stuff that happened to me doesn't happen to the next generation. So all of our program we built around FlexiFit is to help off-ice training for figure skaters worldwide to prevent injuries and prepare them properly for the sport that they need to be putting that demand on their bodies.
You know, Signe, what's interesting, one of the chapters in my book, Hashtag A Sports Parent, is called The Prodigy Sports. You know, we tell people, doctors tell people, trainers tell people, we want kids to play multiple sports when they grow up. And that's great, unless you're a figure skater or a gymnast, maybe even soccer or tennis, where already at 12, 13 years old or younger, this is all you want to do. So the idea of repetitive motion injuries has always been a nightmare in the world of figure skating because of it's become so much more athletic. You know, when we think of the great champions in the past, the Michelle Kwans and the Peggy Flemings and the Dorothy Hamels, none of them did triples. Now we have girls in some cases doing quad jumps. The physicality has become so much more dramatic. And this is why off-ice training is so important and mixing in, the problems with overuse. You know, the reason I co-authored the book was there's an epidemic of youth sports overuse injuries, and figure skating is right smack in the middle of it. So it's great that this FlexiFit, you know, you're paying so much attention, you know, again, to preventing problems and being able to deal, because you're the prodigy sport is I'm sure that when you grew up, that's what you were playing.
Well, yeah. And it's actually interesting that you're mentioning all of that because, you know, back when I was even competing, we were doing all our triples, even attempting some quads, and there was no good practice on injury prevention and making sure your body is set up for the amount of demand that is required in our sport. And even more so now, and, you know, yourself being a foot doctor and specialist in that field, I think you would understand more than anybody that making sure that your ankles are strong enough to take on the pounding of the body when you're coming down with more than four to five times your body weight is really an essential part to training, along with all the high intensity conditioning and, you know, sprinting and all
along
the other things
growing.
That come along with it.
You know, it's amazing.
And along.
Right. In the decades of seeing young female skaters as young as 10, sometimes even younger in a few years, half of them I was seeing because of knee problems. So the whole concept that the feet affect everywhere else is one of the biggest things we pay huge attention to. Any persistent chronic low, your back, your hips, again, and why this is missed so often is the fact that if the feet don't hurt, sometimes it's ignored, and this is why we pay, you know, another chapter in my book is called The Two Essential Exercises for all you guys, is we want these skaters to strengthen their feet and ankles routinely, proactively, and we want them to really work on balance. More is not better. One of our biggest concerns, again, is overkill, over-scheduling, just too much pounding. You know, when I have these young girls who are doing double jumps all week at 11, 12 years old, what are they doing off ice? They're jumping rope and running stairs. So pardon me if I'm screaming about that. I'm screaming about it, Signe.
I can hear you. I can hear you. I think a big part I just want to mention, even like what you just said, is that, you know, you don't know until it happens to you later and then it's too late. And I was probably 25 when I started to feel my hip really, really hurting. And I know that it was from all the pounding and grinding on that hip from the jumping. And eventually I treated myself by figuring out all these injury prevention exercises so I didn't need to get surgery. But I don't know if you are aware of how many figure skaters end up getting hip replacements like way later after their careers are over.
And gymnastics. These are the two sports.
And gymnastics, yeah.
Again, that many times we would see, what's her name? The young girl was a world national champion at 15 years old. She does all the commentary now in figure skating.
Tara Lipinski.
Right. unbelievable, the jumping and what was going on. And then, of course, later on, and there's almost no way to prevent this. If you're going to be at this world level, I had a group of all different doctors and specialties when we were dealing with Lysacek, 10, 11, 12 years old, orthopedics and podiatry and physical therapy. We were talking about how safe is it to do triple jumps at 12, 13 years old. And there wasn't one vote that talked about, except for the fact that if the Russians were doing it, we needed to be doing it. And we had to try to prepare these athletes. His initial coach, Evan's initial coach, Candy Brown, who's still coaching now in Dallas, Candy Brown Burek, was so ahead of her time when she was paying attention. She was brought this to our attention in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't know if you recall Angelo D'Agostino, who might have been the first youngster that we were paying such big attention to the role of orthotics and the role of alignment in figure skating, mm-hmm. Let alone the mental game. How big a deal, Signe, do you pay attention to also the mental side of with these young skaters?
Oh,
and their families
huge.
And coaches.
Yeah, you know, that's a really good point. I think, I have a degree in psychology as well. And it's interesting when you're working with the skaters, how much it's not even about the jumps or what they're doing. It's all about also how they deal with the pressure and the coaches putting on pressure for them to jump, jump, jump. And sometimes they're feeling injured and they have to push themselves through the pain. And, they talk to me about that. And one of the biggest things, I think, what we have to understand in our off-ice training is that sometimes we have to understand when the skater is feeling tired, we should not be pushing them beyond the limit necessarily. There's a time and place for that, of course, but it's more on the overtraining side when you start seeing the skater being...
Well, I tell you, Signe, the percentage of young skaters and young athletes who are living on over-the-counter pain medicine to try to keep up, to try to play hurt, to try to not be falling behind is scary. And this is why we end up in some instances like the Olympics, that incredible Russian skater might have been the most exciting I think I've ever seen, who ended up being in trouble because of whatever kinds of drugs her coaches were pushing her on in order to be able to do more, in order to be able to calm things down. And of course, everybody knows how insane some of that stuff is. And this is where the education of the coaches and the families becomes so important. Rest and recovery, major key. Nutrition also, right?
Absolutely. Everything comes along with it. Proper sleep. The skaters sometimes go to bed so late after doing their homework forever and all their other stuff that they do. And then they're waking up really early and not warming up properly. And there's an injury waiting to happen and you don't even know about it.
We
need to be educating.
Tanya Lysacek, created by Evan's mom, who was involved in every step of his career. I had her yarn. You know, one of the questions always was, whose goal is it? And who's pushing? And what about overzealous parents, et cetera? I had her on right after the Olympics. I think it might still be on my website, that show. I said to her, how did you know, Tanya, that you weren't over-pushing on whether it was Evan's goal? She said, you know, Dr. Bob, Evan had ice time at 6:20 in the morning. I never had to wake the kid up. There he was. He was in the car, you know, with his gloves on.
Yeah,
hey, Mom, let's
that's
go.
Amazing.
I thought that was such a great answer in so many ways. Again, because this, I felt the figure skaters were way ahead of the curve when they were doing visualization 40 years ago, 30 years ago. Candy Brown was paying attention. I thought you guys were trendsetters in the mental game.
I know. I remember doing it myself, too. It was like,
really?
Yeah. Even when I was competing, we were doing visualization, walking through our programs, closing our eyes, watching the jumps being executed perfectly. I remember right before competition, I would go to bed every night and, you know, visualize my short program perfect before waking up the next day.
You were way ahead. Every
I guess
sport,
so.
You know, all those years ago, pro sports thought it was voodoo. Mental training. Now, again, of course, it's such a big deal. And I always gave figure skating some real credit when we saw how this was something they were paying attention to. What's the best website, Signe, people could find out about you and all your programs?
Yeah, so if you go to flexifit.com, that is our website where you can find all about our programs and our magazine.
Flexifit.com. And I know we're going to get cut off in a minute or so, and I wanted to talk to you about to start telling us about the Figure Skater Fitness Magazine.
Yes. So in 2015, I was on a trip to Florida with my husband, and we were sitting in the airport, and I was thinking, you know, what magazine do I want to read? And I was thinking to myself, like, there is no magazine out there that is sport specific to figure skating and all the training essentials that need to be in place. And that's when I came up with this idea way back and decided that I'm going to give out in a magazine that is basically everything what I would have loved to see when I was competing, you know, on injury prevention, mental training, fitness, different parts of, you know, kind of like nutrition that the skaters can have. So all of our industry specialist writers are amazing, and they are writing for us since, you know, almost 8 years now and still with us. And we are putting together a quarterly issue, so it's released every 3 months, giving the skaters a periodized perspective what they need to be doing in that part of the season.
I'm going to tune you right into the Sports Doctors In column. Like we have with MVP Parent Magazine, the idea. We're going to talk more about all of this with Signe Ranka, the former champion, the founder of FlexiFit Figure Skating Magazine. We will be back. It is the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his 3 decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER Lower Extremity Review magazine, one of Sports Doctor's key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent. With the Sports Doctor Is In article in each issue, go to MVPParent.com, MVPParent.com. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody, we're back live from Chicago, the Sports Doctor. We are talking with Signe Ranka, the founder of FlexiFit and all the off-ice protocols, Figure Skating Fitness Magazine. You know, you mentioned briefly, Signe, in the first segment, you know, that you have a degree in psychology, because I always ask coaches like yourself how your sports psychology skills are when you're dealing with families, coaches, kids. It's such a big deal. Talk a little bit about the mental game, whether it's your magazine, whether it's your off-ice, and how you deal with overzealous whether it's parents and or coaches, expectations, et cetera?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think a lot of the stuff that you learn in psychology, it's almost like when you get into the real world and you start dealing with the parents or skaters or coaches individually, you have to attack it on a case-by-case kind of situation. So learning about, you know, especially when I work with skaters on a daily basis, everybody is different. Everybody has different fears and different anxieties of things that might happen or what they're thinking about going into jumps. So more on even just training technique or training strength and conditioning and all these things that come behind it, we have to understand what fears or what anxieties are coming along with the skaters, especially when they're jumping, to really tackle how they can mentally prepare and what kind of keywords work best for each skater. So I think that's a big part of the mental training aspect. But moreover, also competitions, I think that's a big part through what we offer in the magazine, is dealing with how do you overcome being super nervous, or what if, you know, you're skating with your best friend and they're, you know, competing against you? How do you deal with that kind of pressure? And if they beat you, what do you feel or what do you say? Like, all these little things that we don't really think about as, you know, athletes, now all of a sudden come into big play when you're out there competing. There's more than just, oh my gosh, I need to land these jumps. All of a sudden these external factors are coming into play that can affect your performance.
Let alone coming back from injuries. You experienced that. The challenge of, can I get better yesterday? The challenge of, oh man, I'm injured again. And these kinds of things are such a big, big part, again, of these prodigy sports, especially at the kinds of levels that you're dealing with. What are the ages, as you see it, just in general, that you start paying attention with some of these young skaters? Like I said, I got a room full of 10-year-olds already doing, doubles and whatever. What are the age group, Sydney?
Well, like you said, you know, we're getting younger and younger into specialization and getting into the triple jumps at 11, 12. I mean, I myself was doing all my triples before I turned 13. And I think one of the biggest times is when you're working on the fundamentals. And that's when, you know, it's the key time to really look at the skaters' bodies and make sure the alignment is there. They've got proper technique on the basics. And that's when it really matters to make sure that you're checking in on everything. I mean, it matters all the way through, of course, but at these younger ages, when you start seeing like habits start forming, and then it can be a little bit too late once they start to hit, you know, puberty. By that point, if they have misalignment or, you know, your feet need to be corrected and you're pounding your body on that, that's when it's like that little, it's maybe a little bit too late to correct that quick enough. And now we're playing catch up.
You know, yes, it's one of the things that we've seen, you know, so many skaters have the misconception that a custom boot is what is the optimum of everything. The custom boot is about custom fit. Alignment is about proper custom orthotics. We were really talking about the alignment, the complicated foot-ankle motions, especially when it's locked in a tight boot. And this is something, again, that we've been working on so much and getting the awareness in coaches and parents, where we're told we don't need something wrong to incorporate proper orthotics is another major key. It's almost always a step up when we're talking about prescription. A couple of the champions in the world of figure skating that are former guests of mine, Kim Ryan with her Spinergy and the whole spinning world action, Sheila Thielen and her vestibular services. We were talking about all those spinning and spinning techniques and the extraordinary kind of body control, motion control that's involved when you're talking about some of these extraordinary spins, especially when you're coming down from some sort of jumping. And the whole art side, the dancing side of skating is such a big deal, the art side, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that we really need to be focusing more on is, you know, ballet training and dance training outside of skating, because not only for posture and alignment, but for feet as well. Like, I'm very interested in that aspect too, because the skate can only hold you up as a cast for so long. Your ankles actually need to be strong on their own, because as soon as you take your skate off and you start jumping on the floor, a lot of skaters get injured in off-ice jumps because their ankles are not strong, and they're now trying these elements on the floor when they're not ready for it with the support of the ankle. So there's a lot of aspects to dance that can help with that, a lot of balance training, like you mentioned in the other segment, using BOSUs and balance boards and everything like that to strengthen the ankles.
Fantastic,
very important.
Unique piece of equipment you have to pay attention to, Signe. It's called the Sand Dune Stepper. If you go to Instagram, you'll see all about it. The Sand Dune Stepper simulates on the beach, working all the inner muscles and gripping powers of the feet and toes, which is something that is really, really not often done. And the idea, again, of working balance and not more jumping and pounding, but, you know, incorporating some of these different, you know, vestibular balance type of exercises that we think are so important. And the how have you found the cooperation of the industry? You know, where we used to have such tradition in so many ways that trying to change it was sort of like good luck to us, you know, in many ways. How have you found the cooperation of the higher echelon coaches nationally, internationally, understanding that we've got some real physical and mental challenges that we really have to pay attention to, programs like yours? How have people tuned into that in your world, Signe?
Oh, I lost you for a second there.
Okay, good. We got you back. Yes. There's
okay.
Nothing like the excitement of live radio, Signe. You know,
I was like,
a guest doesn't show up because they got the wrong time zone. I was asking you about how you have found the coaching, the medical, the other kinds of parts of your industry, understanding how important programs like yours, education like the magazine, how's the cooperation been in some of your experiences? I think it's getting a lot better.
I think so, too. And, you know, as much as COVID was a little bit of a horrible thing that happened to us, I think in a way it was a blessing in disguise for figure skaters to understand how important it is to keep up with their off-ice training during the time where there was a lot of shutdowns and we couldn't actually physically be on the ice. So I think at this point, you know, it was a slow kind of climb, but I think COVID times really in the last 3 years, our skaters are really understanding more importance of the importance of off-ice training. The coaches really got into it too with all the Zoom lessons. And I think now we are starting to see a change in the fact that, wow, we really did see a result of just the off-ice training and how that translated back to on the ice, and where kids maybe didn't lose as much jumps, or they got stronger actually taking time off just doing off ice.
Yeah, well,
so
you know, it's amazing,
really evolving.
Signe, is wherever my guests are from internationally, whatever their vocation or profession, mental fitness, mental health is like on top of the list. Just today, again, warnings from the Surgeon General about social media and these kids and the kinds of challenges, when you have serious young athletes, and the how do you deal with some of the insanity of social media, you know, where I say to all you coaches, good luck to you. How do you deal with that? How do you see that being incorporated?
I mean, you know, one thing that I tell the skaters a lot is, you know, sometimes, you know, you watch social media, but don't pay too close attention to, you know, all these crazy tricks that people are doing. I've seen so many injuries happen from skaters trying to do something really outrageous that maybe the, you know, the person is able to do just because they're naturally able to do it, but doesn't mean that everybody should go and put their skates on and start skipping rope with their skates on. They're going to twist an ankle. So I think there's a lot of you know, crazy stuff out there on social media that we should take with a grain of salt and really do more research on our own to understand if this is the right type of training for you. And that's when, you know, you really realize, okay, am I looking for something that's really just crazy out there? Can I stand on a ball or whatever? Or what is the purpose of this kind of training and what I'm actually focusing on? And on the side note, like, you know, we always see all these, you know, especially with girls watching other, you know, social media accounts and seeing, oh my gosh, they're doing so much or this, I'm not doing enough. You know, listen to your coaches. I think that's the best advice. Listen to your coaches, your parents, and build a solid team around you. And, you know, keep your social media on the side if you want, but really have a good team around you to guide you properly. And that's going to keep you on track to know exactly what you need to be doing for your training.
Oh, yeah, that was a big emphasis with us, with Evan. We had a whole team in the areas, again, of mental training, of the physical training side, of the nutrition side, and trying to pay. We tell these young skaters, again, many times a home program is such a key because these kids are so overscheduled. There's not enough time to get to other classes. Gosh, I'm going to have to talk to you about that on another show, Signe Ronta. Great. Give me again, Signe, the website to find out about you and your program.
Yeah, thank you so much. The website is flexifit.com, and you can find all the information for our off-ice training and our magazine on that.
For sure. I want to thank you so much. Hold on, Signe. We're going to be right back, everybody.
Okay.
Sports Doctor.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
It used to be hard to find the world's most wonderful alcohol-free drinks. Not anymore. Whether it's a health thing, a lifestyle thing, or you're trying new things, make sure you save yourself from the guessing game of the supermarket shelves and shop with zerozilchzip.co.uk for the world's most carefully curated range of alcohol-free beers, wines, spirits, and more. Health Radio listeners can save 5% with the code HEALTH5. Visit zerozilchzip.co.uk or click our banner on the UK Health Radio website. Discover alcohol freedom with Zero Zilch Zip. Because nothing's better.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. It is the Sports Doctors In segment, where we preview some upcoming shows and guests, add a little Bob Guy to wisdom, answer a few emails. Got some great guests coming up next week. Diane Chirico, the whole world of massage and healing, soft tissue, medical massage, such an exciting area. She'll be joining us, and one of our favorite return guests, Hillary Loftus, one of the education directors of the Howe Foundation, Help Our Warriors, and their whole emphasis on hyperbaric oxygen and concussions in the world of youth sports. Big, big topic. Following week, financial mental toughness. Ron Tank will be joining us. That whole topic, it's so important, whether it's families of young athletes, professional athletes, the rest of us. And then we're going to have Lori from Hen Hat Labs, My Orthotics Lab, and the new technology of scanning with iPhone technology for orthotic fabrication. A very, very exciting area. And the Hen Hat Laboratories Orthotic Lab. Bob Guida was so excited about what he called the oscillating balance beam. Like a balance beam in gymnastics, but rounded off so it was unstable. And whether it was members of the Olympic volleyball team rehabilitating superstars, whether it was Walter Payton, Jim McMahon, Jimmy Connors, McEnroe, athletes walking on the balance beam, creating instability and strengthening everything, their ankles, their hips, their knees, alignment, sometimes wearing a football helmet with weights on the top, the oscillating O-beam, prodigies and individuals of a lot of guided concepts still practice this today. Mike Andrews with his organization, Dave Buchanan, a couple of local guys working with the oscillating balance beam. Again, under the category of instability training, create instability, demand these balance systems, the stabilizer systems of the body to come into effect. And the oscillating balance beam became a famous part of that whole philosophy. Some emails. Tammy says, I'm a 45-year-old walker. I've got a diagnosis of neuroma. Are they always surgical challenges? Neuroma is a thickening of the nerve commonly located in the ball of the foot between the third and fourth toes. Particular connection. Whether someone has an aggressive high arch foot, maybe they got a flat foot, excessive pressure thickens, starts to callus that nerve. It gets in the way, causing numbness, shooting pains, other problems. Surgery is not the only option. We've had great success with orthotics, redistributing weight away from that area. We've had great success with a few different cortisone injections, if indicated, physical therapy, ultrasound treatments, other kinds of protein-rich plasma injections. So if your diagnosis doctor is recommending surgery as the first option, get another opinion. There are conservative options. Tom says, I'm a 40-year-old adult soccer player. I play a couple times a week. I've had some problems with plantar fasciitis. They're talking to me about cortisone injections. You know, cortisone injections can be very helpful if indicated. They're sure not our number one factor. Plantar fasciitis, inflammation of the arch of the foot, commonly located with discomfort in the heel area, many times is a support problem. Orthotics are a magic weapon for persistent plantar fasciitis, proper alignment. Any kind of arch support initially, even over the counter initially, can be helpful. So you want to make sure that you're looking at those options that might include cortisone injections, but not as an initial treatment in most instances. So you want to be making sure that you're getting some good podiatry input regarding everything from are you in the proper soccer shoe? What type of insert gives you the best support? Look seriously at custom orthotics as well as other options. Mary says, my mom's 80 years old. Are orthotics a weapon for fall prevention? Yes, they are when done properly. Proper stability and balance is such a key. Many times, along with physical therapy and strengthening, proper alignment along with proper shoes can really, really be helpful. You want to pay attention to that. We've had great success with people older than 80 when that's included in the fall prevention program. We're out of time. Catch you next week. Thanks to our friends at BBS Radio. It's a sports doctor. Thank you, Dr. Bob.